This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Oh, baseball season's right around the corner, and some would say it's already here. Pitchers and catchers have reported. AJ Hinch joins us from down in Lakeland, sunny Lakeland, while we have a snowstorm here. AJ, good morning.
Good morning. The weather the last couple of weeks, it probably made you guys want baseball season to get here faster, I hope.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Can't wait to see the green grass when you guys take the field on the 22nd for that first game. It always gives me the hope that spring is right around the corner.
That's right. Some long winters, I know. I've been to Detroit a few times this winter and still try to make some regular appearances, you know, in and around the park or at my house in Detroit. But you know, we're down here in 90-degree weather. I probably shouldn't complain about how hot the first workout was.
Yes. Dehydrated, are you?
Yeah, you know, I had to get some sunscreen. I needed to make sure and find some shade and had to be careful because Scooble was throwing like 96 mile an hour on the first day, and he looks ready to go.
You sound like you're in good spirits. Obviously, last year, playoffs, and now you guys add Flaherty back and Torres. Just what's your outlook as you guys get set for this season?
Yeah. No, I'm excited about this team, and a lot of it does have to do with, you know, the finish last year. I mean, I didn't like losing the last game that we played, but I'm just really enthusiastic about where we're headed and the foundation that was built. I mean, I'm balancing that with like, hey, don't look in the rearview mirror too much. We don't want to live in the past. We got to build it. You know, it's a different team. There's a few different names. I did joke with Flaherty that I'm not sure whether to put him in the returnee category or the new faces category, but we're going to put him in both and had some fun with him introducing him to Lorenzo the other day, and we'll see him throw live BP to him at some point. And I just think we're, you know, there's a lot of work going on that is worth being excited about. And then the reality check will hit when we start playing these games and getting this team ready for a new season. You know, the challenge ahead is a grind of 162 games. And so you know, it's always great when you get down to camp and see the boys, you know, all together for the first time. Our whole camp is almost here. And so I think that's what brings some, you know, some enthusiasm around our team.
I know you don't see a lot of the guys throughout the course of the offseason, but the way that the season ended and the amazing run that you guys put together, you mentioned the last game, that the impact that that had on you guys. How much did you see that motivate and fuel the guys in the offseason?
Yeah, I think, well, first off, I think it galvanizes the team. I mean, I think when you look at across sports, I mean, you see what the Pistons are doing right now, what the Lions have done, what we've done, you know, those shared experiences are awesome. I mean, we celebrated together a couple times, once in Detroit when we clinched, you know, once in Houston when we swept that series, and those experiences, I mean, that matters, and it really brings the team together. And then now we return that entire team. We add to it with a few names and, you know, we try to capture that same togetherness that comes with winning. So, you know, I think from the offseason standpoint, the messaging has been the same. Like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you know, this is, I'm entering my fifth season. we've been pounding these guys about you got to find ways to get better, and here's some paths to do it. And so, you know, Fett going to Oklahoma and seeing Jackson Jobe, or Robin Lund going down and seeing, you know, the group that's in Phoenix, or Michael Bedard traveled all over this offseason. We had the group in Detroit. I flew up and got to see a lot of the position players. You know, we're just going to keep chipping away at the development that's needed for us to continue the rise. There's a lot of talent coming, but there's a lot of things we can do in the big leagues to be better at it, so that we don't have to roll from 0.2% to 100% probability of making the playoffs. So it is a full-time job. It's a year-round job. It's game season and non-game season. There is no off season for us. But I love the fact I was in New York, you know, not too long ago, and Tarek Skubal's like running over to throw a bullpen at, I think it was at St. John's, and getting ready for the season. So our guys are all in, and that matters to me.
I want to break out an old AJ Hinch quote. If you want to be part of it, then you'll come. If you don't, then we'll beat you. Does that apply with Alex Bregman picking the Red Sox?
Well, we beat him in Houston. So, yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, I think for us,
that's the answer.
And you talk about awkward or hard is coming to a camp and multiple camps around the league where, you know, that's a topic about what's going on in free agency and obviously being tied to specific name. And you know, you never want to comment on guys that aren't in your camp, right? Or that aren't on board with you to come and be here. So I find it sort of hard to balance, like, of course it's competitive. Of course we're going to, you know, going to circle some games on the calendar, but we got a lot of work to do, and we have the group that's here, and it's awesome to see that. You know, this has never been about one player. It's never been about, you know, sort of the defining moment. It's, you know, we've, you know, adding Glaber, adding Jack, you know, adding Brebbia yesterday. We're, you know, obviously we've got to get Alex Cobb healthy, getting, you know, Jackson Jobe in the pole position to, you know, to potentially win a rotation spot. Like, those are still really exciting things, and you know, given how late it is in the non-game season, off season, it kind of bled into now having to handle that type of, you know, public sort of public situation, you know, during spring training, and that's sort of weird for me as a manager, and I'm sure it's for our team.
The impact that Bregman would have brought, we've spent so much time talking about it. Not landing him. Clearly, you guys were in pursuit of him. At least it's been reported you're in pursuit of him. Do you guys still need that right-handed bat that was discussed before the offseason?
You know, what we need is we need our guys to step up and continue this development. You know, I think this has been built on, you know, young players getting better. It's been built on young guys getting experience. And, of course, you're always trying to find ways to get better. And I'm not going to play into hypotheticals on sort of what it could have been like or would have been like or and things like
that's
that.
For us.
But obviously that, and I understand that's part of it, but I do think that we need our guys to continue to say lockdown. It's funny, you know, yesterday, you know, it gets so competitive in these, like think about a day where in the morning I'm announcing that Alex Cobb is going to be late to the season. And so these 12 starting pitchers are sitting at their locker. Their phones light up because it's either they see it or their friends or family are sending like, oh, there's not one spot open in the rotation. There's two. And everybody kind of, they're not happy that Alex Cobb got hurt, but they are paying attention to like opportunity that's ahead. In the afternoon, you have the reverse emotion when you sign John Brebbia to a major league contract. And Brev's been in the big leagues a long time. He's got really good stuff. He had flashes of being really good. And now you have a bunch of relievers who are wondering how they fit in. So welcome to the day of being a manager where these range of emotions on this opportunity in the spring, they ebb and flow throughout your entire clubhouse. So the number one thing, I said this to our group yesterday, the number one thing you can control is control the strike zone. So we need our pitchers to throw strikes. We need our hitters to obviously be a step better than we've been in the past. And we're going to continue to build off that. So I have no issue with, you know, sort of all of this stuff playing out in the public, unless it starts to distract us from what we got to do, which is get better.
And you mentioned the pitching staff. Are you Are you excited about having the possibility of a five-man rotation? How much chaos will we possibly see like we saw at the end of last year?
So, you know, it's funny. I joked with the beat yesterday that, man, this is the first time you guys have told me we have too much starting pitching. You know, I got 12, 13 guys in the starting pitcher column in spring, and Fetz lining them up, and we're going to pair them up in spring and give them all a really good look. I mean, obviously the Scooble, Flaherty, Olsen are probably pretty, you know, locked in where I don't know when they're going to pitch yet, but those are easy things to say, and it looks like we have some competition for the rest. And so, you know, one of the things that I do want to keep saying, I think I said this on the show last year, like, it was a strategy on how to best use our guys, which is the chaos. You know, I didn't plan. I kind of off the cuff said Tarik Skubal and pitching chaos. And so I'm going to try not to say, like, the three big boys and then the pitching chaos, because, like, we have a ton of really good arms and good pitching. And yes, we're going to start five pitchers in a row. Again, I promise, you know, but
we'll hold you to it.
But yeah. It's hard. You know what? I wouldn't knock whatever 30-11 or whatever it was in the process of utilizing our pitchers the best way we can. So at the end of the day, you know, other sports are the same way. It's at the end of the day, you're trying to win that day's game. And we are going to deploy whatever strategy we think we can do. I'm not sure that tradition's always the best. We're going to try, obviously, to push our guys because it's easier, you know, kind of all the way around, and maybe even easier to digest. But when we use seven pitchers to beat the Astros in game two of the wild card series, there weren't a lot of complaints about utilizing that strategy.
Torkelson had an interesting quote yesterday. He was asked about kind of fixing his swing, and clearly it's a big year for Tork, or, you know, trying to bounce back. He said he's not going to even watch video. What was your reaction to that?
I think he's going to watch video. I don't think that's what he meant to be drawn from that. I think what he is saying, I wasn't there when he said it. I haven't talked to him about it. He's already reported, so he's doing his work with our group. I think what he's saying is he's trying to simplify and get as much stuff out of his head as he can. And so one of the things that Tork has battled over his few years here has been just a little bit of overanalysis or being obsessed with every single detail in the iPad or the video. He's going to watch video. Every one of these players does. I mean, that's how these guys can learn. I think going public with that, he's committing to, like, keeping it simple, you know, having a few cues and then going to work and not, you know, because sometimes, you know, you watch too much video and you're going to break down success and failure. It's not just the failure. Like, you're starting to criticize your success too, because, oh, I'm not in the perfect position, or, oh, look at this position. And you can still get a hit or hit the ball hard or swing at the right pitch. If you get too deep in the weeds with that, it can be counterproductive. And that's what he's saying. He's not saying, like, hey, I'm never going to pick up the iPad, because you're going to see him probably even this spring on some footage with his head in an iPad. And that's not him going against his word, because he's just keeping it in perspective.
What are some of the things that you're directing Colt Keith, or the coach is directing Colt Keith, to do and think about in his move from second to first?
A lot of it is just learn the position and positioning and the angles. You know, at second base, you have a little bit more time. You can kind of create your own hop. By how you go after balls to your left or balls to your right, or even coming in or back. It's just a deeper position. Obviously, the balls that the left-handers hit to first base, they're smoked pretty hard, or they have top spin, one of the two. Those are on polar opposite sides of how you play those plays. And so the bigger glove, the how to attack hops, the footwork around first base. I mean, we're gonna keep inching forward for him to learn the position that, you know, that he started during the offseason. This is, I mean, him being here now is not the first time that he's done this drill work. Joey Cora has been in touch with him. He's asked a lot of questions. And if you want to hear a cool thing, is yesterday I walk out on field three. You know, we have our position players that are early reports. And you know who's giving him a ton of advice was Spencer Torkelson. Mm. Like, they were manning the position together and some of the ins and outs of it. So I think with Colt, it's going to be a work in progress, because it's new and games are going to be new, and, you know, he's going to Things are going to speed up a little bit at the beginning of camp, and then I expect it to smooth out over time. And he can make the plays that he needs to make and give us as much optionality as we can.
Talking to Tiger manager AJ Hinch, one last question we had to ask at some point about Javi Baez. What's his role in 2025?
Well, his first goal is to get healthy, you know, and I know I got to delay my answer to that based on his health. You know, Javi has had a good offseason. He's worked hard. I think his weight's down a little bit. He's been very diligent in communicating with us. And, you know, as baseball activity has picked up, you know, his enthusiasm has picked up as well. And then we've got to see him healthy. He's not going to report to camp at full strength. The running is going to be behind the other aspects. Like, I mean, you're going to see footage of us. You're going to see him on the field making throws. You're going to see him taking live BP and doing all the things that look very normal. You just won't see a ton of sprinting at the very beginning, and he's not going to play in the first few games until we get his feet on the ground and get his running program in place. That is then going to lead to where things fit moving forward and how we put the puzzle together, you know, with whether it's playing time or roles or things like that. And I'm not ducking the question. I'm just being honest that I can't answer it until I see him healthy.
Mm-hmm. It's Tiger manager AJ Hinch. Hey, try not to get a sunburn down there.
Yeah, you guys stay warm. I'll be warm for you. Don't worry.
Thanks.
Looking forward to talking to you again all season. He's AJ Hinch. Thanks. Appreciate it. It's 97.1. All right. Here's the deal, guys. If you find yourself in a car accident, you need help. Maybe you're driving around in these conditions right now and something not your fault, it happens. You need someone who cares about you, who's looking out for you, and that's KG Law. Lawrence KG built his business with a loyal staff. They've been there from the start. I've met those people. They don't cut corners. They care and they win. The phone number is 877-KG-CARES. Check them out, kgcares.com. If you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident, you need to call KG Law now. Visit kgcares.com. That's K-A-J-Y, kgcares.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Before the two Grand Slam, Heather with the news.
Yeah, so earlier I warned you that, you know, leaving snow on your car while you're driving is technically illegal and you could face a $100 fine if you're busted for that. Well, I want to now warn you about something else, especially because we got so much snow overnight. I want to warn you about shoveling. There's a new report from Corewell Health that reveals that snow shoveling paired with, you know, a really sedentary lifestyle could really increase heart attacks, specifically in men.
Mm. So right. You guys, because we're the ones shoveling.
Because we just stay in the kitchen and take care of the kids, John. I get it. According to researchers, just 10 minutes of... What did you expect me to say? According to researchers, just 10 minutes of heavy snow shoveling exceeds current recommended exercise intensity limits. And there's data that shows that after the two heavy snowfalls we've had here in the Detroit area, there were 36 sudden cardiac deaths that were a result of snow shoveling, and 33 of those who died were men. Researchers also say that the combination of exposure to cold air, physical exertion, can really significantly increase heart rate, blood pressure,
sure.
Also simultaneously reducing blood flow to the heart. Other factors that were found to put significant demand on the heart included working in the upright posture, which is obviously what you do when you're shoveling, holding your breath while straining. So if you're like lifting a really heavy, load of snow, and also shoveling early in the morning.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, because you're still warming up, you're still getting your the body is getting the blood flowing, all that stuff. Yeah.
Listen, if you're if that applies to you, there's a corded electric shovel on the market.
How much have you listed it for? What's the going rate?
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes.
The Kansas City Chiefs roster could look a little different when the 2025 NFL season begins. One big name who might return or might just say goodbye to football forever is tight end Travis Kelce. So Kelce turns 36 in October and he's been contemplating retirement. But you know what? He's not ready to jump to any definite decisions just yet. And on this week's episode of his podcast, he said he'll take some time to decide if he's going to play next season or not.
The only timeline that I think he needs to consider is that of the Chiefs. So if he's going to retire, do it before free agency starts in case they want to add a tight end.
Yep.
Because that's
still a month away.
Right. But it's
going to
be here quicker than you'd think.
Yeah.
Michigan Stadium will be hosting its first ever concert in 98 years this fall. Pretty cool. On September 27th, country star Zach Bryan will host an outdoor concert at the Big House, and the show could set a record for Michigan concert attendance, given the stadium's, 110,000 plus capacity for events. And the Big House reigns as the third largest stadium in the world. So it's massive.
It's going to be cool.
Yeah. Now, according to this article, I know, John, you have more of the inside scoop. Part of the reasons that concerts have been limited there or really haven't taken place is because of the small loading tunnel, apparently.
Bands have chosen other venues. You know, issues that people have thought about. I will have Rob Rademacher on the MGO Blue podcast later today to talk about why it is happening now, why it hasn't happened to this point, and will it happen more in the future?
Well, we'll see how the first one goes, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Then we'll know.
Yeah.
Heather with the news to Grand Slam.
Let's make someone's day today. Let's give away some money. 60 seconds, 10 questions. Simple as that, right? But it's not as simple as it sounds. Once you call in and you hear that
timer.
It is
if you know the answers.
It seems easy to me because I'm staring at the answers. But when you hear that time ticking down, it is difficult. You're going to get $25 for each question answered correctly. $2,000 if you can get them all right.
Jim in Wolverine Lake, let's win you some money.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I agree with Heather. This game is a lot easier when I'm listening to somebody else on the radio.
It is.
I play back in 18 or 19, and I got 6 right. And, you know, already as soon as I can't even think who answered the phone. Was it Greg? And all of a sudden, the nerves like, oh, boy, here we come.
Okay.
It's different when you play, but you know the rules, Jim. So your time is going to start when I start reading the first question. Good luck. What jersey number does Jared Goff wear?
16.
This grunge band had the 1991 hit Black.
Pass.
This team won the AFC South last season.
Houston, Texas.
What is the state capital of Minnesota?
Minneapolis.
Stephen Vogt is the manager of this MLB team.
Philly.
What is the nickname of the University of Virginia?
Cavaliers.
Who is the new head coach of the New Orleans Saints?
Quarterback. Pass.
Brendan Shanahan wore this jersey number with the Red Wings.
Oh, I don't know. 28.
Who played Bane in The Dark Knight Rises?
Tom Hardy.
Who was the last men's basketball team in the Big Ten to win the national title?
Michigan State.
Just after the buzzer.
Oh, no good. The guy that answered the phone waved it off.
Hate me?
It wasn't me.
Hates me. Right.
It was Greg.
Although you were late. So.
I felt it was after the buzzer, too.
It was right, though.
And what did he get in the time? Okay. $100.
Yeah, there you go. $100.
$100. Hey. Who is that quarterback? Wasn't he in the Lions?
Kellen Moore.
Damn it. Sorry.
We'll put you on hold. We'll get you paid. We'll go through this real quick. People like to know all the answers. Goff wears 16. The grunge band with the hit Black.
Pearl Jam.
Mm-hmm. Texans won the AFC South. The capital of Minnesota.
Oh, he was so close. Neighboring city. It's actually St. Paul.
Stephen Vogt is the manager of?
Guardians.
Nickname of the Cavaliers. Virginia is the Cavaliers.
Yep.
Head coach of the Saints, Kellen Moore. I was very disappointed. Brendan Shanahan wore 14.
Yeah, he doubled it up.
I know. Did the little Irish jig when he'd score a goal? Who could forget? Who played Bane in The Dark Knight Rises?
He hit this one quick.
Tom Hardy.
It kind of threw me off because he knew it so fast. Yeah. I remember when I read through these, I was like, oh, they might not know that.
Yeah, Tom Hardy.
He got fast.
And the last men's basketball team of the Big Ten to win the national title was Michigan State. Your next chance to win is Tuesday at 7:25. Dear John is next. It's 97.1.
There was so much going on. I didn't get any teasers today.
No heads up. All right, you want to send these in, DearJohnJansen@gmail.com. We'll get to as many as we can today. I'll give you this heads up. We have good cop or bad cop, stay or go, and first Valentine's Day.
Oh, first Valentine. Big day tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of pressure.
If we have time, we'll get to a few more. But we'll start with good cop, bad cop. Dear John, I found out my high school son has been stealing some of our liquor to drink with his buddies. Says, I actually don't think it's a huge deal. I drank in high school and don't want to be a hypocrite. But at the same time, he shouldn't do something stupid. He's only 16. There should be consequences. How did you handle alcohol with your kids? Should I be good cop or bad cop?
So not a lot of alcohol in our house to begin with, but there is some, and it is, you set the precedent early in regards to responsible drinking. You show, you know, you model good behavior. But you also make sure that they know, hey, you're not allowed to drink till you're 21. Now, Lucy's at college. We all know what, I have no idea what she's going to do there. But again, I hope example and modeled behavior. And we've had some discussions about what it's like the next day. And, you know, hey, there are consequences to your actions. In regards to this specifically, if you were to partake of any of this alcohol, I found out about it. All right. You better get used to your room because they're 16. There's no car. There's no driving. And one of the things that if this individual has gone to through the process of the permit and driver's license, the one thing that you do know is as a parent when, and they'll tell the child, hey, your parent has the opportunity to revoke this at any time. Boom. Your license is gone. Not only can you not drive with me, you can't drive with anyone, and no car, no phone, no access to anything. Like, I will drop the hammer on the kids. They know it, and they know it ahead of time. These are the consequences. So test me. Go ahead.
So I'm going to write that down as bad cop. Go ahead, Heather.
Well, I have yet to decide how I will handle this, but I think I will be much more of a good cop because my parents modeled great behavior. I never really saw them engaging in drinking, you know, occasionally here and there, right? However, I was this teen. I was taking liquor from my parents' cabinet, filling it with water. There was one holiday. My mom grabbed this huge thing of vodka, and I was like, oh, my God, that's like all water. That's all water. That's all water. And I looked at my cousin. I was like, you have to go to the store because she's going to make these drinks, and she's going to know it's not actually vodka. You need to go get, you know, whatever. I think for me and my kids, I would let them know that this is not behavior I would like them to engage in, but if they're going to do it, there has to be some rules. It has to be at my house. If you have a friend, I must have their keys. Nobody is getting behind the wheel. Things like that.
Do you worry about encouraging it then at that point?
No. So, and let me tell you this. Because I had drank in high school, by the time I got to college, I mean, I drank in college, of course, but like there were some of my friends who were very strict parents, couldn't drink in high school, couldn't. And they were a mess in college. I don't know yet. I don't want my daughter to be doing this, right? Okay, and I don't want her to have to be sneaking it. If she is going to be drinking, I'd like to know that she is drinking. I'd like to be there with her, at least in the house with her, not like hanging out with her friends in the basement. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, I want her to be at home with me, with a parent involved. Like, I don't want her sneaking around and doing it.
Yeah, I will be bad cop until they're 21. There is absolutely, even when they're 20, Lucy comes home or Jack gets to that age, it's not happening in my house until you're 21.
Stay or go? Heather, you want to go with this
one? Do this one. Okay. Dear John, I know you mentioned that you moved recently, and it's something I've been considering too. The other option is to renovate the house we currently live in. It's big enough. It's just kind of dated, right? So does it make sense to stay and remodel the kitchen and bathrooms, or should we just move?
So we went through this entire process of we wanted to remodel our room, the kitchen, do a lot of stuff. And some of it I did by myself, but the cost of remodeling versus what the value adds to your house and how long you're going to be there. Will you be able to recoup that cost? For us, it didn't work. The math didn't work out. So we started looking to move. And that's really, I think, where you've got to decide, are you going to be in that house long term? So if you're going to make those improvements, and whether it's a kitchen, it's a bath, whatever it is, the ones that we did do was the roof and the heating and cooling. Because I knew that those were ones that we would be able to add value when we went to sell the house.
They kind of pay for themselves if you do sell. Yeah.
The kitchen and all of the interior work, we weren't going to recoup that from when we wanted to sell the house.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really, there's a lot of factors. I don't know how much everything is going to cost. It's also, do you really like that area? Like, do you like your neighborhood, your lot? Are you in a good school district? Do you have kids? I mean, there's a lot involved in it. So I think you have to do the math and make the right move for you.
Yeah.
First Valentine's Day. Mm. Dear John, this is my first Valentine's Day as a married couple.
Oh.
I made reservations at White Castle's special tableside service. Parentheses, I'm the White Castle fan. She tolerates it. Is this okay? Assuming the answer is yes, I have an old White Castle gift card in my wallet.
Am I okay to use it on a romantic dinner, or should I pay with cash credit? Background, it's not about the budget. It's my love of White Castle.
Okay, so if you wherever you're going, if you got a gift card, then use it. That's not the issue here. The issue is, and I'll come at this from a couple of angles. It's your first Valentine's Day as a married couple. I can 100% appreciate setting that bar as low as possible because next year it's a little bit easier to get over and you could continue to up your game as you get older and as the years go up, because we all know 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, 25, all of those are landmarks, and the one is a landmark. Hey, congratulations, high five, you made it. But dude, don't go this low unless she is a huge fan of White Castle, or your first date was at White Castle, your first kiss, the first time. And I'm naming all of the different dates that Jim Costa would celebrate.
Yep.
The first time you held hands, the first time you locked eyes, the first time you did anything, it was at White Castle. I could understand it a little bit more, but no, man, come on, go to somewhere real.
I could feel Heather's blood boiling as I was reading this,
and then I just googled because I'm like, this can't be a real thing.
Oh, it is.
Oh, it's a real thing. I didn't know. Yeah. This is a real thing, and he called it a romantic dinner. Eating dinner at a White Castle, whether it's their special Valentine's Day Love Castle event, is not romantic.
Right. So again,
this is an awful idea. Don't do it.
What is it that you want out of the day? If you want it to end well and you want to be, quote unquote, happy, I don't think you go to White Castle.
No. I get it. Yes. Like you mentioned, the first kiss, first date, whatever. I still don't think you go to White Castle, even if that's.
Maybe that is an homage to those dates, and you pull through, you spend a couple of moments there, you celebrate the moment, but then you say, hey, don't order too much because first of all, my gift card only covers a six pack, but then we're actually going to go to, I don't know, Red Lobster.
You got to class it up better than that.
To Red Lobster.
There I have no go. Issue with the gift card.
Uh-huh. And like, for dessert, we're going to go to Taco Bell.
I don't care how you pay for it. If you have a gift card, right. Good for you. I don't care
but
about
class
that.
It up. Come on.
It's awful.
What is the standard, Heather? Because you seem to have the highest here.
I mean, let's not go to a fast food restaurant. I mean, I think that's pretty easy.
So any sit down is fine.
I mean, for some people, I'm not going to Chili's.
All right.
You don't want any baby.
Sorry, Applebee's.
Just catching strays today.
Applebee's. Right. Hey, Applebee's, you might run into Dan Campbell.
Well, then take me to Applebee's. No, I'm just saying, I don't want to go to a chain restaurant.
I agree with you, actually.
Okay.
Thank you.
How about if it's not a chain restaurant. It's one, but Colin were to DoorDash it and have it sent home. Now,
that's fine.
Okay.
Right. Takeout's fine.
Yeah. Might be cold.
Well, don't get it cold. I mean, time it up. Or
DoorDash.
You'd be cool with DoorDash priority on the first order. Valentine's?
Yes, I would. I would rather DoorDash and eat it in my house than eat it at a White Castle. Like if between those two, I'd be okay with that. I'm not big on Valentine's Day. But if you are going to take me out, don't take me to White Castle.
And especially if there's going to be alcohol, their timing probably serves itself better at that point as well.
And that is Dear John. It's 97.1. All right, Ticket Text reacting to Dear John. We are going to talk a lot of Alex Bregman today. He didn't pick Detroit.
Oh, man.
Saga's over.
Uh-huh. Well done, Greg. You're really good at the comeback music.
Greg adds layers to the show. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're really paying attention, the little Easter eggs.
Boom, boom.
Reactions. The drinking got the most reaction.
Oh, I'm sure it did.
You guys had very different answers.
Mm-hmm.
Dear John, what do I do? My kids are drinking under my roof. You said, bad cop. Not at all. Not happening under my house, my roof.
Right. And they are expectations that are set well in advance before that situation even comes up. So they know what the consequences are.
John is okay with 18-year-olds fighting and dying for their country, but has a problem with them drinking a beer that's hilarious and sad at the same time.
Okay, well, call your congressman. Don't call me.
Says you do realize the drinking age in most other countries is a lot lower than here, and they become more accustomed to alcohol, and they actually handle it better than we do. That's Dennis in Allen Park.
All right. Well, if you want to play by their rules, then move over there.
Not happening in my house until they're 21. What a bootlicker on the ticket text.
Again, not asking you to live in my house. And at 18, like, my kids don't have to. Right? They're old enough to go out there and get themselves a job and get their own apartment. And because if you don't like the rules, that, like I mentioned, go live in another country. Go live in your own place.
Let me ask you kind of a weird loophole question. Let's say one of your daughters comes home from college, but then they go over to Windsor where legally they could.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come home. They got like a ride home and they are still drunk under your house, but they got drunk in a country where it was legal. Where do you stand on that?
Again, as long as you don't drive.
Okay.
All right.
Heather, you're not unscathed in this, though, because you were like, oh, yeah, as long as I know about it and I can help them. In today's legal climate, if Heather allows her daughter and friends to drink while she, quote, monitors them, the word will get out, probably go viral, and she could face a lawsuit from other parents.
It's going to happen. Kids are going to drink alcohol. And if my daughter or my son is going to drink, I'd like it to be at my house so I know what's happening.
I'll tell you what, though, I highly advise you in this world that you would really open yourself up to potentially a lot of problems.
I know it's changed since I was in high school because everybody drank everywhere and it didn't matter. Nobody got in trouble, but...
No, one of my best friends in high school...
Somebody's going to... That my kids will probably drink in high school.
Their mom was like, hey, I'm okay with it, but give me the keys.
Yes. Well, I said
that's
that.
That's what she said.
I said that.
But still, like, all they got to do is say something.
Well, this one says, do you want to be known as the house that everyone can go over to and drink? Is another ticket text.
Sure. Because if my daughter or son is involved in that, I'd rather it be at my house than at somebody else's house where parents might not be home.
And experiences also shape the decisions that we make as parents. And the experiences that our kids have had throughout the course of their lives. And so if you've had somebody that has been in their life or somebody that's a family member that, and I don't understand addiction, but that they have an issue with alcohol. It shapes the decisions that you make as parents to make sure that they're fully aware of the risks they are taking. And I'm just not going to let them take that risk when they are under my roof.
See, Heather, there's absolutely no way that I would be known as that place. All they got to do is take one picture and put it on TikTok.
So
and you're done.
Your kids
you're
be done. Out drinking and driving somewhere else.
Do you want to go to jail because
no,
you're providing
I don't
alcohol?
Go. I'm not providing it. Okay, when I was a kid, everyone brought their own alcohol, which is a different. I mean,
it doesn't
I'm not
matter.
Providing alcohol
you're
for
allowing
all the
it
other
under
kids.
Your house. You put a video out on TikTok. You're done.
Well, I would still rather it be at my house than at somebody else's house where there's no supervision. I mean, obviously, my kids are 3 and 1. I've got a long time to think about this, okay? I don't know what I'm going to do yet, you guys. I'm just thinking off the top of my head.
Well, I had no idea Tom was going to go at you like that.
It's not Dear Heather.
Well, no, I'm just trying to, like, are you thinking about it? Like, are you really thinking it out?
I know things are very different than they were a long, long time ago when I was actually in high school. And I get it. I know that you could get in a lot of trouble for doing
this.
That.
You come down to Tecumseh and you can do what you want down there.
I'm not like going to be pouring shots for these kids as they walk in the door. Like, put your keys in this fishbowl. Here's a shot. Like, I'm not doing that. I'm like not going to be providing alcohol for all these kids. I'm just saying if my child is going to
want some Jello,
get into that, I'd like to at least have them at home.
She's got a cooler of Jungle Juice for when the kids walk in.
What's TikTok going to be called by
Here's
then?
A brownie.
Gosh.
It's not the only thing that got reaction, though. We brought up the White Castle, and we all went thumbs down for Valentine's Day White Castle.
Sure.
Ticket Texter points out that we're all snooty and says, what if White Castle was the first place they made love, Scott and Carlton?
Oh, God.
First of all, you're not making love if it's at White Castle in a bathroom. Just saying. It's called something very different at that point.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
What's going on under the table?
Okay, if that happens, right, it's not in White Castle. It's got to be in the parking lot, right?
Or a bathroom, which is inside of a White Castle.
You got to do it in the bathroom, right?
Well, people do. Apparently.
Apparently,
I guess. Yeah. How dare we have standards?
White Castle on Valentine's Day. Good luck having fun with your lady after 3 or 4 hours from that. All right. Yeah. So keep them coming. We are going to talk about Bregman top of the hour here. Okay, we'll talk baseball. It's the big story. We were waiting for this to end. He didn't pick us. Who do you blame? Do you blame Bregman? Do you blame Harris? Do you blame the agent, Scott Boras? Are you blaming Ilitch? We'll give you all the details. We'll weigh in. We'll do it next. It's 97.1.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.